You know, one of the things, I know I'm in grandpa mode when or grandparent mode, is that when you see a young person doing something that drives the parents nuts, you know how parents do something and the parents are going, don't stop that, stop that, stop that. When I'm in grandparent mode, I'm going, go for it, go for it, go for it. You know, so you just sort of say, yeah, keep going, keep going. You know, when Noe is doing something that is not making Eric happy, I'm going, go, 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 go. And so, but it's good to be here. I missed you. It was fun being with friends down in the Whitehall area. It was fun doing a wedding, but I missed you. I missed being with you. I missed doing it. And I want to thank Dwayne for doing such a great job filling the pulpit for us this morning. Last week. Can we pray? Almighty God, we have before us your word. It's a good word. May your word be a word that we obey. May your word be a word that we not only put into action, but we live by, so that others may know and that your name may be lifted up and that people would recognize that there is no other God but you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going through the one another's in the Bible. And you're going, well, what's that? Those are the places where the Bible says, these are the things we want you to do to and with and for one another. And there are about, I want to say, close to 45 or 50 spots in the Bible where it talks about the various one another's. But a gentleman out of Nashville by the name of Ray Ortland said, here are some one another's that you're never going to find in the Bible. Sanctify one another. Humble one another. Scrutinize one another. Pressure one another. Embarrass one another. Corner, interrupt, defeat one another. Sacrifice one another. Shame one another. Judge one another. Run one another's lives. Confess one another's sins. Intensify one another's sufferings, and point out one another's failings. He goes on to say, the kind of God we really believe in is revealed in how we treat one another. The kind of God we believe in is revealed in how we treat one another. The lovely gospel of Jesus points us to treat one another like royalty. And every non-gospel positions us to treat one another like dirt. We will follow through horizontally on whatever we believe vertically. Think about that. We will follow through horizontally on whatever we believe vertically. I've been telling you the whole time I've been talking about these topics that the only two things that people outside of the church are interested in knowing about us is this. What do we believe, and do we believe it? And number two, how do we behave? What do we believe? How do we behave? And what we believe impacts how we behave. What we believe is seen in how we behave. If we passionately believe in grace, then that's how we are going to live. If we passionately believe in love, that is going to be how we live, how our hearts, our limbs, our mouths activate. And you're thinking about, well, what can we do? Well, I want to talk about another example. His name is Joseph. He is a Levite from the island of Cyprus. And you know him. Oh, you know him well. You just may not know him as Joseph. You probably know him better as a guy by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas, by the way, is a nickname. Barnabas simply means son of encouragement. He is a gentleman that encourages so much, that's how he's known. He's known as somebody who constantly encourages. He lived a lifestyle of encouragement. He believed in people, and he lived accordingly. He believed in Paul when everyone else was afraid of him. He went with Paul on his first mission trip. He supported the church of Jerusalem to the level that he sold a field and laid the money at the apostles' feet. He believed and supported a gentleman by the name of John Mark so much that he stood toe-to-toe with Paul and argued with him when Paul wanted nothing to do with him. Barnabas lived an encouraging life. I'd like to hold up Barnabas as somebody that we need to emulate. I think you and I need to encourage one another. You and I can be that person of encouragement. And if we believe that God is a God of encouragement, then we will live a life of encouragement. And I think it's important that we do so. I believe that we also live in an age of discouragement. We are also living in an age where people do everything they can to draw our energy out of us, to take away our joys, to tell us that we cannot do something, that when we try and do something, not only can't we do it, but whatever we do is done wrong. I think the church ought to be the place where everyone comes up and says, "You bet you can do that, and you did a great job." I thank Jim for reading Scripture. I think everyone in this place ought to read Scripture. Izzy does a great job getting people to come up here and read Scripture. And I will tell you, Isabel has number one challenge is people who don't want to get up here because they are a little intimidated about reading to such a happy, smiling, and energetic. You are smiling, aren't you? You all look like you've fallen asleep and I've just started. I promise I'll have you out of here by 3. Yeah, you are. We all need encouragement. I think if you live a life of encouragement, you don't look at the things that go wrong, you elevate the things that go right. You get up there and you say, "Thank you for what you have done. You've added to our service today. Thank you, Dan, for that little riff in the middle of 'I'd rather have Jesus.' You know, that's a blessing. I thought that was awesome. I kept thinking, what a difference it would be had I tried that." You would not have been as blessed. Oh, yeah. To never pick it up again. "We who are strong," Paul writes, "ought to bear with the weak." Have you ever noticed that we're not strong in every regard? That we're weak in some area? Some of us are great beginners and others of us are great finishers. Some of us are great in one area and we sort of have this gap in another area. I think those who are strong ought to lift up those who are weak. Those who are strong ought to come alongside and care for the weak and not please ourselves. We live in such a narcissistic, self-pleasuring culture. That's where you and I have the opportunity to really lift up a witness for Jesus Christ, is that we can walk along next to someone, and if they struggle, encourage them. If they struggle, to give them strength, to give them courage, to elevate them. Because that's what Jesus did. Have you ever noticed that even when Jesus was rebuking, no one left Jesus in the same condition that they came? They all were better. What an awesome thing. Wouldn't it be great if people said, "You know, every time I come near somebody from West Bay, I just come away better. They're kind, they're encouraging, they are supportive. They are with us." Why? Because we walk with Jesus. What we believe vertically is played out horizontally. And when you look through the New Testament, you say, "Well, where do you get these sections on encouragement?" You really don't find an individual section on encouragement. It's woven through all of the Scriptures. It's listed everywhere in the Scriptures. But if you want to benchmark first, go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Well, let me read 12 and 14 as well. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Well, how do you prevent that? Here it is. "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, and indeed we will hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end." Why? Because today I will encourage you. In fact, I will encourage you every day as long as it is called today, so that none of us falls into sin's deceitfulness. Encouragement is a constant necessity. Encouragement is one of those things that you and I have to embrace, not only as a lifestyle, but receive it from someone else. We all need it. To have someone recognize that we are doing something for the name of Jesus and say, I see what you're doing and I want to tell you, well done. Not for pride, but to spur us on just a little bit more, to compel us, to give us a little bit of lift. Those who are strong in the faith, those who are weak in the faith, they stand together. Those who have a strong stance and those who waver, those who need a little help and those who are always willing to. We need to bear, uphold, carry, and encourage one another. It's a selfless exercise. It is designed to have the attention put on the other person. And it says each of us should please our neighbors for their good. We got to build up the people next to us. So much in our culture, especially in the humor, is geared around tearing down, of pointing out the flaws. Now, if you want to point out my flaws, they're easy. They're kind of everywhere. And they kind of stick on the outside, and they got big signs saying, hey, look at this. We all have flaws. We all have things that we'd like to hide. We all have things we'd like to sort of stick away, but somehow they keep coming out and they keep showing themselves. Well, you know what? I'm going to please myself, please my neighbor for their good. I'm going to build them up. By the way, you can help your neighbor but not give them the correct support. You can give them things, but it's not for their good. It'll end up being for their detriment. And Paul says, look, you want to build them up. You want to edify them. You want to overcome the infirmities. You want to get beyond the embarrassment or the deficiencies. You want to strengthen their faith. You want to point them towards Jesus. And you want to let them know that, yeah, they can. Whatever it is they're doing, yes, they can. Because Christ didn't please himself. He didn't live that way. It says in verse number 3, for the insults of those who insulted you have fallen upon me. You know what? Jesus said, look, whatever people are going to get at you, I'll take on to me. Let me have those things, those insults, whether it's to God or to you, to anyone else, let them fall on me. And I will protect you. Part of it is, in terms of encouragement, is protecting the reputation of another. Of making sure that you don't let whatever unkind or inaccurate or cutting remark have any longer lifespan than it absolutely has to. We are called to encourage one another. And these things are written in order that we might teach us, that we might be showing to us. They want us to show us something so that endurance taught by the scriptures. I like the idea that we are taught to have endurance. Have you ever thought that if it was easy, we wouldn't have lessons in endurance? Are any of you runners? Anybody here a runner? Yeah. How far do you run? How many? 4 miles. Well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you think 4 miles and you're saying, ha, have a good time? How far do you run? 4 or 5 miles every day? Every day. Okay. How many of you think running, I'm going to do well if I get 4 feet? You know, endurance. Did you start off just running 4 miles out right out of the box? Why not? I couldn't do it. You can't do it. It takes endurance, doesn't it? Now, can you run 6 miles? Yeah, you die. Well, we just assumed you didn't do that. Well, it takes endurance. It takes endurance. If you want to see what it took endurance, just take a look and see how God's servants wandered through. Daniel, Jeremiah, David, Moses. Look at the servants in the Old Testament and see, oh, how many of you would like to be Daniel? Not so much. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. You see, but there was somebody encouraging them. There was somebody walking along next to them. The word for encouragement has similar roots to the same word that we use for the Holy Spirit. And it's like the one who walks next to and upholds and supports. We receive encouragement. We receive and endow ourselves with encouragement in order that we might have hope. What a powerful thing to have hope. What a devastating thing to have it taken away. You and I, we have hope in Jesus. I will be 59 years old in about a month. I'm thinking, that seems like a long time until you think of eternity. And I don't know how long I'm going to live, but let's just say I've got another 25. And so I've got that long to go. And let's think about that. That's just a drop in the bucket. You know where my hope is? My hope is that when I'm out of the body, I am present with Jesus. And when I get to heaven, I get a new body. I think that's hope. Unless you want to carry your carcass through eternity. I don't. I can hardly wait to trade this thing in. This is like dragging around a Vega, you know, a Chevy Vega, and I'm going to get a Rolls Royce. That's what I'm going to get. I have hope. By the way, hope has never been wishful thinking in the Bible. Hope has never been anything other than the absolute, firm, foundational, granite foundation of the promises of God which have never failed. May our hope in Jesus Christ Himself and our Father who has loved us by His grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage yourselves and strengthen you as you do every good word and deed, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because then you and I, with this hope, this encouragement, we can have the same attitude, the same mind that Jesus has. And we can go out and we can be as selfless and as compassionate and as loving as He has, because you and I, we stand and have received so much from the Holy Spirit who walks next to us and lifts us and encourage and gives us courage, who instills in us a sense of, yes, it can be done, that points out to us that we have so many things that we can accomplish through the power of Jesus Christ. And when we have that one attitude and we have that lifting of our minds that Jesus had, we can, with one mind, one voice, glorify God. Isn't that the interesting thing? The whole purpose of our life is to bring God glory. The whole purpose is not to have the focal point on us, it's to lift people's eyes to the one who is the author of all life. It is the one that says, look, here it is. I encourage you so that you can do the work for Jesus Christ, that God can get the credit, the benefit. That together, despite our differences, despite our adversities, despite our weaknesses and strengths, we can in a unity point and say, all praise to Him who reigns above. That's what it's all about. May God, prayerfully saying, Paul says, may God give you the endurance and the encouragement to have the same mind, that with one mind you may praise God and have all people praise God. Therefore, accept one another. Receive one another. That's what this version that Jim read for us. Receive, take in, and embrace. Not just put up with, but to take in completely and accept just as Christ accepted you. And that brought praise to God. It is essential that we who belong to Jesus encourage those around us. I promise you it's going to get more difficult to follow Christ in the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead. I promise you it's not going to get easier. The differences between those who belong to Christ and those who do not are going to become more and more distinct. And there are times that people are not going to appreciate what we bring. Therefore, we have to be there and stand with and encourage one another. We have to say, it's so good to see you. By the way, I want to tell you each week, I am always thrilled to worship with you. I am always eager to be with you because I see God working in this place. He has chosen this little congregation to do incredible things, and you have been. And we have to stand up with one another, and you know what? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fumble. We're going to do goofy things. But that's not the centerpiece, and that's not the final point. The point is that we have to stand next to one another, and when someone sings, we say, oh, awesome. When someone gives the announcements, Ron, well done. When someone goes out and makes cookies, thank you, Pam. They look great. I wish I could have one. When they do anything, do you know that Bob's been on that board for almost every week for years? Bob does a great job, and you know what? How many of you always notice the mistakes that Bob makes? Huh? Anybody? Yeah, come on. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I am stunned he makes so few, because that's not an easy job. We have some. Phil's been an usher since he was this big. And Jim is always there. But do you understand? What I'm saying is, don't let anything pass your eye by in order that you kind of walk up to someone and say, thank you. Thank you. That was great. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. You know, it's just making sure that we encourage, fill one another with enthusiasm and give them the very breath of God. As long as it is called today, encourage one another so that we are not falling into sin's deceitfulness. We need each other. There are days I am strong and days I am weak. There are days you are strong and there are days you are weak. Let's carry one another in word and in deed. And let's encourage one another just as we've been asked. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask you to all stand.